Welcome to the Locked On Steelers podcast. I am Tony Serino alongside Christopher Carter, and this is your daily dose of all things Steelers. Today on the show, Chris and I are giving our rapid reaction to the Steelers 17-12 win over the LA Rams. It brings the Steelers now to 5-4 on the year. They have a winning record for the first time in the 2019 season, and this was a dominating defensive performance. Chris and I are going to break it down today on the show. Welcome to the show. You can find more of this podcast on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, the Himalaya app. Wherever you find podcasts, search Locked On Steelers, hit that subscribe button. Make sure to get your daily dose. You can follow us on Twitter at LO Steelers. You can find us on Facebook, search Locked On Steelers. Hit like on the Facebook page, but make sure you also join the Facebook group. You can also find us on Instagram at Locked On Steelers. All right, Chris, how you doing today?
Doing great, Tony. How are you, my man?
Chris, you have given new meaning. We may need to rename the show again. You were locked on exactly on your Friday prediction when you said the Steelers were going to win this game and get four turnovers. They did just that. They got four turnovers and they won the football game. The Steelers win a close one, 17-12 against the Rams. Brings them to 5-4 now, Chris. And this is a winning streak that may never end at this point. A terrific performance from the Steelers.
I mean, it was absolutely the performance they needed, Tony. They came into this game knowing that if they get this win, they're going to put themselves in a winning record for the first time this season.
Yeah.
After all the things that they've gone through, and they did just that. The defense effectively only allowed a field goal in this game, and I know part of that's because of the fourth down conversions at the end, but still, it's huge. The offense gives up a score. If the offense doesn't give up the score early with the bad snap for Marquise Pouncey, we're talking about, you know, maybe the most comfortable win that they've had in outside of the Dolphins and the Bengals game. But this is, again, this was a good team.
This is a real
played.
Opponent. Yeah.
This is a good team that they play, a team that was also competing for its playoff life because it's much tougher in the NFC. And they took them on. They forced four turnovers. Like I said, I think that was the magic number, and they got it at the very end, on a drive where they had to force a turnover to end the Rams' hopes. Just a huge play from across the board, finding any which way to win.
Now, before anyone writes in and says, why is Chris using his library voice? Chris is still at the stadium right now, so if you're wondering why Chris is a little softer today, that's why. You know, you talked about it, right, the defensive score that the Steelers gave up right off the top. Let's start there, because, I mean, that's 14 seconds into the game. You know, we knew this was going to be a tough game against the Rams, certainly their toughest opponent since going all the way back to the Baltimore Ravens, and they really did start in about the worst way possible with a bad snap from Marquise Pouncey right over the head of Mason Rudolph, put themselves in a 7-0 hole. And Chris, I know, you know, from where I was sitting and watching the game, I thought, okay, maybe this is the game where, you know, the Steelers have won the turnover battle in every single game this year. And you know, this was a game where they were, you know, this is the game where if they were going to face some adversity, here it was going to be. And they did. They gave up the 7 points, but they didn't blink. And I thought, you know, what was it, a couple possessions later when they had that drive to score the touchdown, I thought that was maybe Mason Rudolph's best drive of the year.
Yeah, I also think this was Mason Rudolph's best game of the year. He was delivering the ball down the field. Sure, they didn't. There were still at least four drops by my count from the Steelers. There was one fumble from James Washington on a huge play.
Yeah.
If they make those plays, if they avoid those mistakes, this might have been a blowout, because at least two of those drops came on third downs. That was the other thing, is that they would have moved the sticks. One came from Juju Smith-Schuster, another from Vance McDonald. I'm trying to think where the other ones came from. There was Deontay Johnson had a bad drop.
One over the middle. Yeah.
Yeah. Like there were quite a few of those plays. And when you count James Washington's fumble, I mean, the thing is, though, I did like how the receivers kept fighting throughout the game. And that's the thing, is that, like, Vance McDonald dropping passes, you know, everyone could say about what they want about the young receivers, but that guy, that's the same guy that last year stiff-armed Chris Conte into the next millennium.
Yeah,
you know,
exactly.
So it's like, this is obviously not just like a, oh, they're not focused thing. It's like, you know what? You know, they're struggling. And when there's struggles with, you know, with how everything's working, more struggles find their way to, you know, into the pattern. But I will say this, you know, after Juju's dropped, he kept his focus on, and he went to war with Jalen Ramsey. And I would say that Juju won that war. He was saying after the game how Jalen Ramsey was cussing at him and saying all sorts of things, getting really angry. He really, you know, he didn't have like supreme numbers, but 3 catches for 44 yards and also drew a pass interference. Jalen Ramsey got called twice for pass interference in this game. I think all things considered, with Mason Rudolph, that's a win of not falling into those pitfalls, even though the offense still has a long way to go.
Yeah, I mean, look, you know, the Minkah Fitzpatrick had a touchdown in this game, so offensively they were, you know, only able to manage 10 points. But like you said, there were some bright spots offensively in this game. You know, really that touchdown that Mason Rudolph had in the first half, and then that last drive that they had to get the field goal, that was a big drive, you know, a 14 play drive to get themselves into field goal range, make this from what was a 2-point lead and a Greg Zuerlein kick away from potentially being a loss. And look, Greg Zuerlein has a great leg. He missed that one at the end of the first half, but that was what, 50 something yards,
and he had 56
all, 56, and he had all the legs. So this guy could, you know, if the Rams were going to have a chance at the end of the game here, you know, he could have kicked one from, you know, 57, 58, and the Steelers could have lost a really silly one. So that field goal at the end there, that drive they were able to put together, was a big one and get this lead to 5, because, boy, it just felt like, Chris, yeah, and we're going to talk a lot about this defense today, but, at no point in the game did you really feel like Jared Goff and that Rams offense was going to be able to put together any sort of drive that would end in a touchdown.
Hey, I got to say, the stat of the night for me, Tony, is Cooper Kupp. 0 catches on 4
My
targets.
My fantasy team doesn't love it, but I'll take it.
but that's insane, Tony. That hasn't happened since I think he got hurt against the Broncos in last year. He was leading the NFL in 21 catches on third down coming in this week. And not only not on third down, it was not at all. And, I was talking to the secondary. I was talking to the defense. They were saying the whole plan was they were going to have one guy play him underneath, and every time Cooper Kupp was going out, they were going to have someone bracket, whether it was a linebacker helping by coming across the middle or a safety coming down from up top. They were going to make sure he did not beat them this game. And they took one of the best receivers in the NFL completely out of the game.
Well, there's so much to go over with this defense. So let's go to break, and we'll come back and we'll talk about what was, I'm going to say, maybe the best defensive performance we've seen from this team in 5 years, in 10 years. I mean, this was a monumental performance, I thought, from the defense. And Chris, I want to talk to you about it right after this break. Guys, remember the days when you were always ready to go? Now you can increase your performance and get that extra confidence in bed. Listen up. BlueChew.com. That's blue like the color blue. BlueChew brings you the first chewable with the same FDA-approved active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis, so you know they work. You can take them anytime, day or night, even on a full stomach. And since they're chewable, they work up to twice as fast as a pill, so you can be ready when the opportunity arises. If you could benefit from extra function and more confidence where it counts, Blue Chew is the fast and easy way to enhance your performance. Blue Chew is prescribed online. It ships straight to your door in a discreet package, so there's no in-person doctor visit, there's no waiting in the pharmacy, and best of all, no more awkwardness. They're made in the USA, and since Blue Chew prepares and ships directly, they're cheaper than a pharmacy. Right now, we got a special deal for listeners of Locked On Steelers. Visit BlueChew.com. Get your first shipment for free when you use our special promo code Locked On. Just pay $5 shipping. Again, that's BlueChew.com. BlueChew.com. Use the promo code Locked On to try it free. Blue Chew is the better, cheaper, faster choice, and we thank them for sponsoring the podcast. All right, so Chris, you brought up the stat of the night, Cooper Kupp being held to 0 catches. This is a guy who's gone for 100-plus in pretty much every game this year. So that was a terrific performance defensively. Look, here's another stat for you, Chris. The Steelers on third down on offense were pretty frustrating today, just 5 of 16. But the Steelers' offense has been, you know, they haven't been great on third down. You look on the Rams' side, Chris, 1 of 14 on third down for Jared Goff, and a team that was in the Super Bowl last year. On fourth down, 0-for-2.
Yep.
This was a dominating Steeler performance. And we can go down the line here, but I said it before the break. I think this is one of the best Steeler defensive performances I can remember. You're going all the way back. You'd have to go back to that, to the team in 2007, 2008, 2009, 2010, where, you know, they went to 2 Super Bowls in 3 years.
Yeah, I mean, this defense is on another level. This is they've never had these kind of playmakers on this team since that last era of Polamalu and Harrison and Woodley and Barrier and that kind of a crew. This is something else. I mean, Minka Fitzpatrick, what a dude.
Chris, I know you're at Heinz Field. Have they started the statue yet, or is that starting tomorrow morning?
Well, that's funny. But you know as well as I do that Steelers don't do statues for whatever reason. But Joe Green deserves one.
Maybe they need to make an exception here. My goodness.
I mean, he's absolutely killing it for the Steelers. You know, and this is now back-to-back weeks with defensive touchdowns. They said that hasn't happened since like 1983, I think it said. It was like Sam Washington or someone like that. Someone we don't even know.
Yeah.
But, I mean, but the Steelers announced that statistic. It's insane. I mean, and I'll say this, you know, and this is what I was saying, that for people to be patient about Joe Hayden, he was spectacular.
He was great. Fantastic.
Tonight. He finished the game with 7 tackles, but that's not the impressive part. 5 breakups, a fumble forced, and an interception. And it was a huge interception when the Rams came out. They thought they had figured something out coming into the second half. You know, Sean McVay is known for his big coaching adjustments and his offense. And I was listening to him talk about this after the game. We were talking to him in the locker room. And he said, really, he was covering a corner route. And he just saw Goff lock on to Higby and his wheel route. And he just said, I'm switching over to it. And sure enough, Goff was going right to Higby, who was running a wheel route off of Devin Bush. And Hayden waited for it, picked it off. To me, that was one of the biggest moments in the game. But there were several big moments, especially by the defense. He really came through for this team and showed why they paid him as much as they did.
Yeah, no, he was spectacular. Like you said, I thought Mike Hilton did a very good job. I mean, I think he was on Cooper Kupp most of the night, I think.
Yep.
So, you know, we talk about Cooper Kupp having 0 catches. You got to go to Mike Hilton and give him credit there. I thought the edge rushers tonight, Bud Dupree, TJ Watt. I got to give credit to John Ledyard for pointing this out on that last play. You know, TJ Watt very gassed at the end of this game. They were trying to rotate him with Ola and Chicolo. So, you know, he didn't do much on that last play. But on the other side, you had Bud, who was basically a step away from maybe a strip sack before Minka gets the interception. I mean, this defense is at a point now where they can make plays in a bunch of different ways. It doesn't have to be that their front four has to get there or the secondary is going to leave holes behind it. If Goff waits another half a second, potentially Bud's got a turnover there. But he throws it anyway, and it ends up as an interception for Minka, his second on the day. Look, this defense right now, they've got through 9 games, they've got 4 more. They're up to 26 turnovers right now. That's 1 behind the Patriots. Both teams right now are on historic pace for the modern era. The Steelers defense in 2018 had just 15 turnovers or 15 takeaways on the year.
They're about to double it.
At 26.
Yeah. They're about to double it. And like you said, it's coming from all these different directions because the fumble recovery that Minka had that he took to the house came from Hargrave collapsing the pocket.
Yeah, that's right.
And Hargrave, he hasn't been too loud. He hasn't been the biggest guy, you know, in replacing to it. But but that's what one of those things I said. If with their people are going to put attention on Dupree and Watt, they had to get the interior pressure. Dupree was like, man, we knew that we was going to come up the middle on these guys. And they certainly did. Hayward also had a big game. Across the board, this defense. I mean, here's the funny thing. Where do you poke at on this defense? Do you go after Mark Barron and Devin Bush? Because here's the thing. Now the Steelers, they're supporting them more. They're saying, okay, you want to – like the first pass of the game that Goff completed was Higby on Barron. And then after that, you saw a lot more support, and then Goff looked a little bit more confused.
Yeah, and it felt like on that – I'm going to try and pull up the drive chart here because they got a little bit – the Rams did get a little bit of a drive going on the one where they had it on downs. They had Garrett Everett – some passes to him early on, but it felt like the Steelers rotated coverage there, and that went away. And once it did, that offense, you know, the Rams were not able to move the ball.
Well, one thing I asked them about it because on that, are you talking about the drive where Terrell Edmonds broke up the fourth down?
Yes.
Okay, so that was the thing. Their plan was to have a soft zone down the field to kind of just force Jared Goff to dink and dunk. But as soon as they got to the 40, they were like, okay, ratchet up, man press. Too deep, and they just ran. They said, if you're gonna beat us, you're gonna beat us in our tightest coverage, and you're gonna have to beat our safeties. And once they did that, Goff had no answers.
Yeah, it does still feel like you said, maybe teams are gonna try and attack at Mark Barron. But was Devin Bush I didn't see him much out there. I was trying to find him, you know, the TV camera and all the TV angle. Did he get hurt at some points? Didn't feel like he got as many reps in this game.
No, it seemed like, I think the issue was that Mark Barron had the green dot, and they wanted to keep him on the field to be the communicator over the middle and to prevent any mix-ups. I mean, he only had three tackles, Bush, but he was out there helping in coverage. But also, you got to think, why would they put Mark Barron out there more? This is the team that he practiced with for years. Why not put the guy that knows them better than anybody out there? And that's what they did. They put him out there, and yet he didn't have a spectacular game, though. Mark Barron led the team in tackles, 10 tackles and a pass breakup. I think this was definitely his best game. Huge stepping up for him, you know, for all the people that have come after him this year, and rightfully so. He hasn't had the best season, but I think that the reason you didn't see Devin Bush as much is because they were comfortable with Barron in there, and they said, hey, you know, we're going to – they ran a ton of dime, Donnie.
Sutton was out there a lot, right?
Cam Sutton was getting out there. And both him and Hilton were helping across the middle, taking away Everett, taking away Cup. And that's the thing is, at the end of the day, Everett led the team in catches. I started him in FanDuel. That was good for me. They did exactly what they wanted to do. They limited. Even Todd Gurley. You look at Gurley's numbers, they're kind of impressive. But the Steelers didn't care because, like, you're not going to live off of this run game.
No. You're right. Todd Gurley got going a little bit in this game. I mean, the Rams had some success there, but you know, like I said before, there was never a point in this game where I felt like this is the drive or this is the moment when the Rams were going to be able to put together any sort of, you know, touchdown scoring drive, unless it came on a weird miscommunication or a fluky style of play. Just the Rams had no answer when it came down to it. Like I said, that field goal that this offense was able to put together was a big difference maker in this game, because it meant that the Rams weren't going to be able to kick a long field goal to end this one. They would have to get a touchdown to win, and they just were not able to do it. All right, one more break here. When we come back, let's talk about the offensive side of the ball. Mason Rudolph, some of the progress we saw from him in this game right after this break. All right, Chris, let's switch over to the offensive side of the ball. Not pretty again. You know, this offense is what it is at this point. It kind of lives and dies by the play of Mason Rudolph, which is getting better, but, you know, still a lot of room to grow here. I thought the play of the game, Chris, that kind of sums up this offensive performance, not just in this game, but really over the past couple weeks here with Mason, was the 4th-and-1 play. The Steelers elect to go for it. It's a play action rollout to Mason Rudolph. He completes the pass to Trey Edmonds. It goes for a couple yards. They get the first down, and it cuts back to Mike Tomlin on the sideline, and he just has that kind of, boo, okay, well, glad that worked. Let's get that out of the way and get that drive going. That has been kind of the expression all Steelers fans have had throughout the last couple weeks watching this offense, like, okay, I mean, they're making, it's not pretty, but they're making it work.
Well, see, that's the funny thing about this game, Tony, is that there were 3 fourth down plays in this game. The Steelers won all of them, and all of them thanks to an Edmonds brother. They had Trey Edmonds with the interception on the fake punt. They had Trey Edmonds catching the fourth down, and then Terrell Edmonds breaking up the deep pass.
Yeah.
Just big play after big play. But this play, when I saw them come out, I was like, man, this is a bold statement
here. It was crazy.
And considering how much the offense has struggled, but they catch the Rams like freaking out, they're panicking because they're thinking, oh, we have to come out here and make a play. They call the play action. Mason rolls to his strong side. Clay Matthews, who is on this play, he's unblocked. He really just takes himself out of the play because he's looking for the run. The Rams were just looking for it. In fact, he took out number 69, I forget his name right now, but he took him out of the play by running into him. And Michael Brockers, who broke through, he's looking for the run. Then he's like, oh, man, Mason's rolling out. And both Nick Vanette and Trey Edmonds were wide open. It was the perfect call for that situation. And that led to the Steelers getting the only points that they were able to get on offense after James Washington's touchdown. And those 3 points, and here's my thing, Tony. Those 3 points, without them, I don't think they win this game. Because the Rams, in any of their last 2 drives, they get in field goal position. They run out the clock. They say, Zerline, go kick us a 50-some yarder. And, you know, with that dude, he missed the earlier one, but I don't think he would have missed another one.
You certainly wouldn't want to watch 2 weeks in a row a kicker lining up for what could potentially have been a go-ahead or game-winning field goal. So yeah, I completely agree with you. That play was, you know, that play and that drive was a real difference maker in this game. Did feel like there were times in this game, Chris, where we really saw some growth from Mason Rudolph. He made some big plays this one. Some real wow plays. There was one where I think he hit Juju. Was it Juju between two defenders, or was it Johnson, the one where he kind of gunned it in there between two defenders? The kind of throw that we've all been waiting and hoping to see Mason try to make. You know, he's a risk-averse quarterback. We've talked about this. The check-down type plays that he makes. Didn't do it in this game. He actually was able to go out there and fit the ball in between some defenders and make some, you know, I know this sounds bad, but make some NFL throws.
But you're absolutely right. He did it a few times in this game. Yeah. And again, some of those were the drop passes that we're talking about. Juju, the first pass that he connected with Juju after Juju dropped the first one, he caught a 20 yarder against Ramsey. And I mean, really, Juju burned Ramsey with an underneath, and Ramsey was furious. If you could see his body language, I couldn't hear what he was saying, of course, in the press box or nothing like that. But just seeing how dejected and mad he was that Juju beat him, it was, and I thought it was extremely impressive that Juju was keeping his head, because it was obvious, and he said after the game that Ramsey was trying to talk so much trash, get him out of his game. You know, before the game, he said he's no Antonio Brown, and Juju came through. He had one bad drop, but Juju came through. He was beating him, getting open consistently. Deontay Johnson was contributing, but the receiver of the night, undoubtedly, James Washington again. This guy comes up with some big combat catches. The fade on the touchdown that he had, he won that jump ball. That's the situation you want him in. Huge performance. And I'm right with you. Mason, this was the most NFL version of Mason that I've seen. And if he can consistently produce this kind of production, I think that they're going to be in a much better spot very soon, because then, like I said, those struggles that compound upon each other, they'll start to shrink down. And when struggles start to shrink down, then those younger players get a chance to explode. And Tony, let's be realistic. You know, as much as we want to say about how exciting some of the talent is on the roster, you got a second-year quarterback. You got a second-year running back in Jalen Samuels. You got a third-year wide receiver in Juju Smith-Schuster, who's still 22 years old. Mm-hmm. You got a rookie in Deontay Johnson, a second-year player in James Washington. These guys are all babies in the NFL, and they're the guys that you were asking to make plays tonight. I think that it's just realistic that they're not going to click that all like that. Now, you let them build some continuity. You let them see how this chemistry works. Maybe as the season continues, maybe we see some more big plays from these guys. But ultimately, Mason Rudolph, man, I was very much impressed, because not only with his decision-making, but with the offensive line that early on, they did a great job of protection. You saw the strength of Aaron Donald and Brockers and Dante Fowler and the guys, Clay Matthews, the guys that they just have on that defensive front that's very good for the Rams. You saw them start to try to take over in the second half, but Mason did not let it shake him. And that was the big thing for me, was that he still looked poised and controlled and focused like you saw in that fourth down.
Yeah, still want to see him. And look, obviously there's still room to grow, right? He gave up a safety for the second week in a row, and I don't like the play call there. Mason talked about it during his press conference. It was a Johnny Holton play, which we know we've been talking about it all year. They got it's contractually obligated, I guess. Randy Fichtner has to call one play for Johnny Holton every game. Just not a great spot to call it there, because the one criticism you still have of Mason, well, I mean not the one, but you know, I think the big one here is he's still not great at getting the ball out, you know, quote unquote, on time, right? It still feels like it's too long to go through his progression. It's too long to get rid of it. And that was another example of it on that the safety.
I still felt like that was more so they. I mean that was one of the few times that they absolutely did collapse the pocket on him, and he was in a lot of trouble. I thought he made several good reads. There was one third down pass. It was Jalen Samuels, because he was one of the drops. There was one third down pass that the Rams brought the house. He read it. He threw it to Samuels, who had one-on-one coverage in a favorable situation, and Samuels dropped it. And if he catches it, I'm pretty sure he makes that guy miss, because he does do a good job, you know, off of the catch, making at least one guy miss. He can get a first down and a lot more. Just one of those things where it's like, you know, on one play, this guy messes up. On another play, this guy messes up. And it's just, you know, you're hoping that at some point this all comes together and they can at least just be on the same page. But again, what's so great about this team is that despite all those, exactly. But but despite all those, also they came up when they needed. Like I said, I said two touchdowns for the offense. They got one,
yeah.
But they needed that field goal drive. Without that field goal drive, they probably lose this game. And Mason was poised enough to deliver the ball. You know, again, the James Washington fumble. If he don't fumble that play, you know, we're talking about me. I thought there was some. I was really impressed. I will say this: coaching adjustment, putting Matt Filer in there to help against Aaron Donald, I think was actually a good move. The only problems that I think that were had was Villanueva had two holding calls. One that I thought was a little bogus, but they had two holding calls that were extremely costly. And when the defense got that fourth down stop on a punt, that was they were not able to capitalize despite starting on the 31-yard line. Those are the things I think that could have really come back to hurt the Steelers, but the defense held on strong and made sure they didn't.
Yeah, I mean, like you said, it just feels like there's a lot of ways where this offense isn't helping itself in places, especially in this game with some of the drops. I mean, you know, not just drops, but like there were weird fumbles in this game as well. I mean, obviously, yeah. We the hike it over his head play. Yeah, I mean, right now it's like the C's get degrees type of offense right now, just enough to get by, but you'd like to see it be a little more consistent in a lot of ways, and that certainly will go a long way. You know, if this defense were to have a bad showing or two at this point, this team is just clearly not going to be capable of winning that type of game if the defense doesn't come out with an A+ performance week after week. So you'd like to see the offense take a step forward as this team now, Chris, is making a run for the playoffs. It's no longer fantasy land. This is a winning team right now. They have a winning record, 5-4. If the playoffs started today, they would be in over the Oakland Raiders. I know the Raiders are 5-4 as well, but the Steelers hold the tiebreaker on conference record right now, so they would be in above the Raiders. Exciting times in Pittsburgh. We will be back tomorrow to break more of this down. Of course, the Steelers have the Browns on a short week. It's the Browns Super Bowl. The Browns coming off of a win of their own. This is going to be a huge game on Thursday night. So Chris and I are going to not just continue breaking this game down, but start previewing that game on Thursday throughout the week. Before then, though, Chris, let people know where they can find your work.
As always, find me on Twitter at Carter Critiques, where if you follow me, I'll follow you back. Hit me with an @, hit me with a direct message. I'm always responding to you guys. Sorry if I missed any of you during the game. There were a lot of messages that I was going through. So thanks you for all those that interact with us. We really appreciate you guys. I mean, we even got some shout-outs, Tony, from people who remembered my four turnover call.
You were spot on, exact. Four turnovers and a win. Incredible.
Man, sometimes when you got it, you got it. But if you want to read more about how I got it, go to dkpittsburghsports.com right now, and you'll see all our post-game breakdowns of the game. I interviewed several players about after the game, but specifically, I wanted to write about the Edmonds brothers, and they said, put some respect on their name. So you can read all about that and their big plays on fourth down at dkpittsburghsports.com right now. Sign up for just 99 cents. You get a trial month after that. If you like it, stick with us. If not, we thank you for checking this out. But we cover the Steelers, the Pirates, the Penguins, and Pitt better than anyone. So go to dkpittsburghsports.com right now and check that out. Also, shout out to all you guys listening to us right now. Thanks for listening to us. If you're not subscribed, hit that subscribe button on whatever service that you're using right now. Also, please leave us a 5-star review as well as leaving us a positive comment. Those things really help us promote the show to everyone else.
You know, I know I'm going to be picky here, Chris, and I know it's a nitpick here, but I still would like to see Terrell Edmonds get his head around. I just, you know, it's the kind of thing where
Tony,
he didn't get his head around and he got
Tony,
here. Yeah.
Tony, stop yeah. it.
I mean, it's just, you know, I think we were all, it's all worried, like, oh, they're going to throw a flag here. Don't throw a flag. Good play by Hinton Smart. Good play. Did not get called for PI. Just would like to see him get his head around a little bit.
Terrell actually said, I need to improve my technique on certain moments.
Yeah.
And he knows
not bad.
A step
not a bad
there.
Player, but. Yeah.
Right.
If he that's one more leap, right? Because you know he maybe makes a play on that ball if he gets his head around,
right? And I think and maybe it comes to him someday. But yeah. But the thing is, they got to make it Fitzpatrick, so they really don't need him to right now.
You can follow me on Twitter at Steeler Country. I only sent out one tweet during this game. I had a whole big get together today, so I didn't have a chance to get on the phone too much. But I did send out one tweet. It was the logo of Killer Instinct, the game for Nintendo 64. Because I think tonight, Chris, the Steelers defense found that killer instinct. This was a terrific performance, and we're going to break it down all week. We will be back tomorrow for more Locked On Steelers.